knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com.
I love you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Knowledge Right. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Yes.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question.
What's up?
You. What's your bright spot today, sir?
Well, my bright spot today, I guess, is a little bit complicated. I guess it's that my cat's okay.
Yeah.
That Selene is okay.
Yes.
For those out there listening, it was a weird weekend. Selene had been having some coughs and what appeared to be difficulty breathing. And so I took her to an emergency vet on Thursday, right after we got done recording our episode. And I was there. Very nice people at the emergency vet. I will say that. I tipped my hat to... to them, they were very comforting and friendly. But we got some x-rays done, and it turns out that Selene has asthma.
Ugh.
Just like the nerds at school. So, you know, it's, on the one hand, this is inconvenient a little bit.
Sure.
But, you know, whatever. It is what it is, and hey. You got to take care of your cat. But on the other hand, it's a huge relief because... You know, what other possibilities could there have been? And, like,
totally.
This is manageable. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess the bright spot is absence of a real dark spot.
Yeah. No. Whenever Fanny, we give her eye drops three times a day, and it looked like she was starting to go blind, you know? So we were panicking before we ever did that. And then you find out, oh, three eye drops a day? Sure, all day. Yeah, all day.
Sure,
you know, that kind of thing.
I have. I showed you the inhaler and the mask that
yes.
I'm supposed to use to get albuterol in if she's having an attack. But it's, I mean, it's a nightmare. There's no way she's gonna put up with this.
It's not quite a tiny bullhorn, but it's close.
Yeah, she's a headstrong cat. She doesn't take kindly to asthma masks.
No. No.
But we'll try. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you could say she's an anti-masker.
Yes,
yeah.
She is. In this case, in this very isolated
specific
case. Yeah.
Well.
So yeah, Jordan, what's your bright spot?
Well, you know, there's a new vegan restaurant nearby my place.
Tennis.
No, of course it's gonna be tennis.
Okay.
Rafa!
I saw that. I saw that he had won, set a record, right?
Yeah. He reached 21 majors first.
Mm-hmm.
The three greatest tennis players in history, all tied at 20.
Agassi, Sampras,
not quite. Definitely
McEnroe.
Not. Nope. And it's very funny. He came back from down two sets to love in the final against the best hardcore player alive right now, maybe, and wound up winning it. It's crazy. It's awesome. And the more you think about it, the more you realize that the number one reason, maybe, you know, because he had to defeat the best players in the world, of course.
Sure.
But maybe the number one reason that he beat Djokovic 221 is because Djokovic is an idiot who didn't take the vaccine.
Sure.
And thus lost history forever. Isn't that very funny?
Yeah, it is pretty funny.
It is. It's kind of funny. It wasn't an injury.
Mm-hmm.
The man's just an idiot.
It was an obstinate choice.
Yes, he's got a brain injury of being unable to just get a fucking vaccine and make history forever.
Wow.
And instead, Rafa did it. Great. It's great.
That's history in and of itself.
It is. It is.
But I'm glad you had a good time and that your boy took it down.
Yeah, it was great. I got to bed at 8 a.m. this morning.
Sweet.
Fantastic. Only 5 hours and a half.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over. We're going to be talking about January 28th, 2022.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. We'll figure something out for you later.
So this is Alex is back in studio. He's gone to the woods with his child.
Sure. And he's returned.
He's returned.
Uh-huh.
And This episode's it's interesting. I think he got renewed by the being in the forest, that outdoor
really?
Air. I think he's lost his desire to quit. maybe he's revitalized.
Man, we half the time we were sentenced to eternal death every time. If he'd just gone to the woods that weekend, we would have been fine.
Take a break.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious that, I mean, that applies to a lot of people in a lot of professions.
That's true.
You know, you're getting burnout.
Go to the woods.
Yeah, you're getting burnout, and it's affecting your performance. And for Alex, that burnout just manifests by him saying that everyone deserves to die, maybe.
Exactly.
And that he wants to leave and never come back.
Yeah, don't put caches of weapons around D.C. Go to the woods for a day or two. Same difference.
Yeah. Ah. Put a cache of weapons in the woods. So we're going to get down to business on this, but first, Jordan, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, policy wonks for policy nonks. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Owie Dowie. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Owie Dowie.
Thank you. Next, Brad from the South Loop. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you. Next, I don't think you have respect for America. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, two skidoos. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And finally, we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. Ooh. And this is a person who might be making fun of the year of the seltzer.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure.
No.
But thank you so much. The 495th seltzer. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back. And I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'm doing all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you. But at the end of the day, fuck you and your New World Order. And fuck the horse you rode in on. And all your shit. Maybe today should be my last broadcast. Maybe I'll just be gone a month, maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow and you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
And he was. All he needed to do was go to the woods.
Go to the woods.
We start off today at the beginning of this episode. Alex is really pumped.
Yeah.
About some goings-on in Canada. Of course, the trucker convoy that is culminated in a protest in Ottawa this Saturday.
Yeah,
actually.
No, it's great.
Sure. Alex plays a sizzle reel of this over We're Not Gonna Take It.
Oh, no.
The longest convoy ever recorded in Canadian history. 50-something miles long. Some estimates for over 1 million truckers.
What?
And more people are joining the peaceful civil disobedience fight. This is how you do it. Yeah, we're not gonna take it.
That's a bad sing along.
No,
we're not gonna take it.
We're not gonna take it.
Yeah. So there's this protest that's went down over the weekend in Ottawa. In advance of it, there was a convoy of truckers that were formed who were making their way to the protest in formation. In the days leading up to this, a whole lot of misinformation was spreading about the size and impact of the convoy. And regardless of the truth, it seems like pretending it's the most important thing in the world is exactly what Alex needed when he's come back from the woods to distract himself from the rest of everything in his life, essentially collapsing around him. The convoy itself originated in Vancouver and then had some folks join in as it toured Canada, but estimates of the number of participants have been all over the place. Alex is saying there may be 1 million truckers, which is absurd. There's just no way it's even close to accurate, that number, since as of 2018, there were only approximately 302,000 truckers in the entire country of Canada.
That does seem like a big obstacle to getting to 1 million.
It strains credulity that somehow this convoy would attract over 3 times as many truckers as are contained in the entire trucking workforce in Canada, whatever. As for the length of the convoy, Alex is saying it's the longest in Canadian history at 50-something miles long. Benjamin Ditcher, the spokesperson for the convoy, told the Toronto Sun that it was over 70 kilometers long, which would be about 43 miles. The Sun, though, is careful to point out that none of that had been independently verified, so who knows?
Yeah.
The estimations that are flying around are a bit excessive, and one of the ones that's caught on as the main talking point that's being spread comes from a former NHL player named Theo Fleury, who was a guest on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox, who said there was 50,000 trucks in the convoy. This has been repeated all over the place.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. 50,000 trucks, huh?
Uh-huh. That number is pretty outrageous to imagine, but if there were 50,000 trucks in the convoy, that would be a big deal. The problem is that other folks put the estimate much lower. Kingston Police in Ontario tweeted out a count as the convoy departed on the morning of January 28th. Quote, 17 full tractor trailers, 104 tractors with no trailers, 424 passenger vehicles, and 6 RVs. There's a chance that this isn't the full scope of the convoy, but it's really hard to tell. Some folks are claiming that there are multiple convoys that are meant to converge in Ottawa,
sure.
or some that are going other state, like
sure.
province capitals.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know what is the full picture ever. And they'll claim that like, oh, you take this little 17 truck thing,
right?
You're like,
right.
This is just an attempt to smear the whole thing. I don't know.
Right.
I got
right.
no idea.
Okay.
The point is that it's really hard to get an actual count of what the convoy contains, but it's unimaginable that it's anywhere near as big as what's being promoted by the organizers, NHL players, or Alex. Because here's the thing. This whole convoy is just a very anti-vax operation and a political spectacle.
Yeah.
While it began as a protest against vaccine mandates for truckers crossing the border, it's really sprawled out from that point to become a flashpoint where the exact issue it's meant to protest has become a bit unclear. Bay today talked to a woman named Dolores who said the convoy is, quote, also about an us versus them mentality that she believes applies to the vaccinated and unvaccinated. That is vague.
We're here. We're not sure why. And we're really mad about it.
There's absolutely no chance that this convoy has widespread support in the larger Canadian trucking industry, and there's a few facts you can consult to help you understand that. The first is that the vast majority of truckers are vaccinated. The second is that the Canadian Trucking Alliance, the group that represents most of the trucking providers in the country, they issued a statement on January 22nd denouncing and strongly discouraging the convoy. It wasn't even really about the political statement. It was actually about the mode that was being used to do the protest. Quote, the Canadian Trucking Alliance does not support and strongly disapproves of any protests on public roadways, highways, and bridges. CTA believes such actions, especially those that interfere with public safety, are not how disagreements with government policies should be expressed. Members of the trucking industry who want to publicly express displeasure over government policies can choose to hold an organized, lawful event on Parliament Hill or contact their local MP. What is not acceptable is disrupting the motoring public on highways and commerce at the border. Another consideration is that the convoy doesn't really have the will of the people of Canada behind it. An Ipsos poll that came out this week found that 67% of respondents, quote, want the government to impose further measures on the unvaccinated population.
Sure.
There is a strong sense of the people who are into this are really into it.
Yeah.
And then almost everybody else.
Go away! Please leave us alone!
Yeah. There's a charade that's going on here, and it's being played out really well by right-wing media figures to make it look like this is a country's population rising up against the oppression of COVID restrictions. Side point, I could have sworn that like a week ago, Alex declared victory because the countries, all of them in the world, including Canada, had simultaneously announced they were dropping their COVID restrictions, but I guess he was just talking shit and making things up.
Yeah.
So here's what's up. This convoy was organized by a woman named Tamara Lich, who's the secretary of the Maverick Party, a right-wing political party that was founded in 2020. When it began, it was called Wexit Canada because their original point was having the Western provinces separate from Canada. They have no representatives in the Senate or the House of Commons because their views are largely unpopular and because the idea of Western secession is a non-starter generally in terms of electoral politics. And because of that, they changed the name to the Maverick Party.
Right, because they wanted to be associated with Mel Gibson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. his
that
finest
actually does,
work.
That actually does track, doesn't it?
On their Twitter page, you can clearly see that the Maverick Party is using this convoy, organized by their secretary, to recruit people into their party. And generally, it's not so much that they're using opposition to COVID measures to do that. It's largely just attacking Justin Trudeau as a bad leader. Their leader, the Maverick Party leader, Jay Hill, tweeted, quote, "If the convoy does nothing more than convince all Canadians Trudeau is a pathetic leader, it's done a good job." So I guess the goal for them is less the raising of COVID restrictions that are supposed to be hurting truckers. It's to politically hurt Trudeau and, of course, raise party membership and hopefully bring in donations. This is weird.
Yeah.
Also in his tweet, Hill misspelled Canadians.
Ooh.
Not great.
No, he spelled it like a maverick.
Yes. I can't argue with that. It is a roguish spelling.
It's a rogue spelling, yes.
So this has essentially been a political pageant for Jay Hill and his party. And I'm not saying that this is the entirety of what this convoy and all this is, but there is an element of this that...
They're piggybacking and trying to use it as a coming out kind of thing.
No, the secretary of their party organized the convoy.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
It's subtle buzz marketing. Let's say. So on January 25th, the leader of this Maverick Party, Jay Hill, was interviewed in the Western Standard. Hill voiced support for the convoy, saying, quote, "Maverick supports Canadians' right to participate in peaceful protest when they feel compelled to draw their government's attention to important issues," and even told them that, quote, "the party isn't directly involved in the trucker protest," neglecting the fact that the party secretary is one of the main organizers of it, and another co-organizer has deep ties to the party. This is a very dumb shell game that these people are trying to play, where they pretend that this giant spectacle that was organized by a member of their party leadership and is being used to recruit people to their party actually has nothing to do with the party itself. It's just a weird coincidence. I don't go in for that. There's another angle to this, too, that should be a cause for concern, and that is the dynamics of the GoFundMe campaign that was set up for the convoy. In a very short period of time, the campaign had raised over $6 million, and a bulk of the donors were anonymous or using aliases. That's not too weird to donate to things anonymously. I think that's a pretty normal human impulse. But the concern is that a number of the very high-dollar donations are also from completely unknown sources.
Right.
It's a donation of $25,000,
right,
$15,000.
Right.
Who knows?
With Faubert Gersher. Yeah.
And this is where, you know, the issue becomes murky. At this point, it's essentially impossible to tell how much of this donation pool was given by legitimate Canadian citizens and businesses concerned about COVID restrictions, and how much may have been donated by people from other countries who are just interested in funding something that they see as an opportunity to create a flashpoint against public health mandates. The possibility that there's funding from abroad, whether it be from malevolent actors or anti-vax proponents here in the United States, it raises serious questions about how organic this whole thing is. And the money, where's it going?
Yeah.
That's also not taking into account the need for accountability on that point. Where's the money going? Where's it being dispersed? Particularly considering that one of the chief organizers of the convoy is in the leadership of a Canadian political party.
That does seem important.
It's all very messy, and I don't get the sense that everything here is above board, but I don't think all of the suspicious things are necessarily all worst case.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that... I don't know anything about Canada's campaign finance laws or whether or not they even have any, but I assume you can't just, like, grift a bunch of money and then be like, aha, this is mine, it's a campaign finance now.
Yeah,
That seems wrong.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe it's fine.
So though it began supposedly as a protest against truckers needing to be vaccinated to cross the border, this thing has now become a symbol of all opposition to COVID public health measures, and people who are extremists in that direction are going to be drawn to this thing. There are legitimate dangers to consider, like the fact that even if the actual group of the convoy aren't up to anything violent, this does seem like a really prime opportunity for someone to use it as cover. There had been rumblings of a desire to have a repeat of what happened in the United States on January 6th, which is cause for concern. Those rumblings have been denounced by the convoy's organizers, so that's good, I guess.
I guess.
Regardless, the set of circumstances here are something that a bad actor could exploit fairly easily. If there are a bunch of truckers heading to Ottawa and planning to essentially clog all the streets around the capital, there's a danger that should something go bad, it would be difficult for emergency responders to arrive on the scene. Whether or not that comes to pass, the possibility that clogged streets could lead to an inability on the part of police or fire crews or medical teams to get to where they're going is one of the reasons that most people don't recommend protests like this.
Right.
They can easily have rippling unintended consequences that are just awful.
Right.
The point is that this convoy is not as large as Alex is claiming it to be. The political message that it was trying to send has been diluted and hijacked to the point where it's essentially impotent as a protest, and the roots and organization of it are all incredibly suspicious, and the whole thing may just be buzz marketing for a Western secessionist political party. Ultimately, this weekend will be, and has, you know, there have been points where it's been a little bit of a tense stretch and, you know, traffic was a disaster.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this is going to go anywhere, like itself.
Right.
The protest itself, I'm not sure. But, you know, Tucker covered it, so it's the most important thing in the world.
Yeah. This is absolutely nothing like the Tea Party in 2008 at all.
There's another thing we need to address really quick, and that is the protest itself that's going on in Ottawa. The convoy was organized by this person from the Maverick Party, but the protest is actually separate. Connected, but separate.
Mm-hmm.
That one was organized by a group called Canada Unity, and they're a bit more insane. They released a memorandum of understanding that's meant to express the goals of their protest, which they're hoping to get the Senate and Governor General to sign on to. This would require all the members of the Canadian government to stop all COVID public safety measures or immediately resign.
Ooh, that's a big ask.
Essentially, they're making an outrageous demand, and the alternative of it is to overthrow the government.
Mm-hmm.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
This is a demand that's designed to be ignored or rejected, which will then be used as proof that the government is evil and corrupt and that these protesters did everything in their power to get their way peacefully to no end and to ultimately maybe extreme measures are justified.
Yeah.
A demand like this is crafted essentially to be rationalized later when people take extreme actions.
Yeah.
This was the lay of the land before the actual rally on Saturday. Then Saturday happened. A lot of what transpired so far, as far as I can tell, has been fairly predictable. A ton of people showed up in Ottawa, which, you know, I'm saying that there's not 50,000 trucks and there's not a million truckers.
Right.
But I'm not saying that there's nobody.
Sure.
Still a fairly large turnout.
No, people are crazy.
Many of these people were sporting Confederate flags and some even more unsavory regalia.
Yeah, well, Nazis are great.
The Shepherds of Good Hope shelter reported being harassed by protesters demanding food that was meant for people experiencing homelessness. People set up various blockades around the country. For instance, one on the border crossing between Woodstock, New Brunswick, and Houlton, Maine. As of the time I'm preparing this episode, this looks to be a completely disorganized mess that definitely could lead to some trouble down the road. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
The demands have long ago spun out of control, and there's no satisfactory resolution for this protest in terms of what they're
What are they going to win? You know, like, what, even if they do get to the negotiating table, your ask is everyone go away forever unless you do everything I want you to.
To have no public health measures at all.
Also, in a completely undemocratic process.
Very.
Essentially holding the entire nation hostage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of the people there are claiming that they're going to stay until Trudeau resigns or public health measures are all dropped, and neither of those things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially as a result of strong-arm demands from these people.
Also, I dare you to stay there as long as you fucking get out of here.
And we kind of talked about this a little bit. It's like the ludicrousness of this proposition. Even the demand of dropping the vaccination requirement to cross the border is silly, because it would still then require us to do the same
thing. Yeah.
You would need to be pressuring the Canadian government enough for them to somehow change American law.
Yeah, you would literally be in the full need of a nuclear warhead in order to try and get near the level of power you would need to negotiate that.
It's a bizarre idea.
Yeah.
The decentralization of this protest, with multiple convoys apparently springing up and the fantasy world objectives, they combine to create an environment that could easily get out of control. I'm fully ready to believe that there are some folks in the protest and convoy who are well-meaning truckers who work for independent, non-union operations who are concerned about their livelihoods. But the reality is that the way that this protest and convoy have been organized and run, they are literally creating the ideal environment for extremists to insulate themselves within the protest and use that as cover to do some bad shit.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Sunday, and you know, I don't think anything too bad has happened yet, as far as I can tell. I don't know that the situation has resolved. Who knows if it's going to be ongoing? And I hope it gets resolved in a swift manner, and no one gets hurt, and nothing ends up happening bad. But on the off chance that things do go bad, let's not forget that people like Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan and Alex Jones were super aggressively promoting this whole thing.
Loved it. Really pushed for it.
Yeah, and pushed for it without any awareness of how clearly disorganized this whole thing is, and how reckless.
And just thoughtlessly, just like, so instantly, just like, oh, these guys are against the thing that I'm against, so I'm just going to say, yeah, that go for it, you know? Even if somebody is on, even if somebody has mainly the same objectives as me, I'm still like, what the fuck are you about? I don't know what's going on with you yet, you know, like that kind of thing. And these guys are like, haven't heard of them? Fuck it. Yay!
Yeah.
Go on, get up there!
Wait, this seems to be drawing a lot of attention. I love it!
It's great! Oh, is this a pro-forest fire? I don't know. Okay. All right.
So I was thinking about it a little bit, and like, one of the reasons that I kind of landed on having absolutely zero faith that this is actually ever was about truckers and the rule that they needed to be vaccinated to cross the border was something that I read in a CBC article. It had to do with the copious amount of regulations that truckers are already subject to, like brake inspections and load limits.
Sure.
Truckers are even subject to physical exams that ensure that they're healthy enough to make their trips. So it only makes sense that this would just be another aspect of that regulation set.
Sure.
In order to be a licensed trucker in Canada, you need to possess a DOT medical certificate. And that requires vision and hearing testing, submitting to urinalysis, and the running of neurological and cardiovascular screenings to make sure that you don't have a high risk of seizures or heart problems that could impair you on the road, and you have to re-up that medical card every 2 years. There are a lot of things that are required by the DOT physical that could be argued to be just as much medical tyranny as a vaccine requirement, so it's a little hard for me to accept that the actual problem they have is the imposition of this new requirement. That's a mask. It's the public-facing position that has a kernel of respectability to it that's hiding what was really... It's just anti-mask.
Anti-vaxxer nonsense.
Yeah, and anti-government protests.
Yeah, yeah.
Just being presented as the public as being about these draconian restrictions and stuff.
Right.
It's silly.
And, I mean, it's their great recruiting tool, or cross-pollinating tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you get somebody who's a fucking Gwyneth Paltrow goophead anti-vaxxer to turn into somebody who's like, yeah, we should overthrow the fucking government. Because
sure.
If you have a rally for, like, maybe let's not wear masks for a while, and somebody's like, hey, guess what? White nationalism. That's how it goes.
So let me also be clear. I don't think that, like, the whole thing is AstroTurf or anything like that. Just because the organizers one of the main organizers happens to be from this political party and such. They seem to be running a little bit of a weird PR campaign.
Right.
That doesn't mean
Grover Norquist consulted on or something.
that doesn't mean that like it's all a charade or anything.
Sure.
Like Alex might say with Antifa,
flagging. It's not a false flag.
No. I just want to be clear about that because I don't want to drift into that territory. So Alex is thrilled about this Canada business.
Of course.
And he reiterates his claim that there's a million truckers.
Well, Canada is now the epicenter of human awakening and human resistance as millions of people take to the streets to cheer on a convoy estimated between 700,000 and a million truckers now beginning to enter the capital of the once great nation of Canada, now under Davos Group command. Now under Bilderberg Group command, Klaus Schwab brags on TV that he has penetrated Canada and now has the cabinet under his control.
Yeah, so that thing about Klaus Schwab is from a conversation that he had in 2017 at the Harvard Kennedy School, the Institute of Politics.
Right.
He's having this conversation about the World Economic Forum Young Global Leaders Program. He did say that they penetrate countries' cabinets, with Canada being one of the examples he brings up. This is just a 1-minute clip that's been passed around right-wing Twitter and cut out of context to make sound scary. But in order to learn more, I wanted to see what this World Economic Forum Young Global Leader Program was all about. Schwab said in the clip that Angela Merkel and Putin had both been a part of it, which really doesn't make sense.
I mean, what?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense in the context of this clip, because Putin's history is pretty clear, and this whole young global leaders thing didn't start until 2004. At that point, Merkel was already the leader of the Christian Democratic Union Party, and Putin was 4 years into his first stint as president of Russia.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm guessing that maybe, and I don't know, this might be a stretch, maybe what Schwab meant in that clip is that, that Merkel and Putin spoke to the participants of the leader program, the young leader program, because they could not have been in it.
No.
I don't believe that's, like, that's possible.
I mean, unless they were in a very weird hotel ballroom one time wearing odd uniforms, like hidden with the rest of the group. Like,
and, I guess I'm trying to think of, like, possibilities, and, like, there could be a precursor organization to this.
Maybe.
But even then, Putin was, like, in the KGB.
I just don't see Putin, like, going to an economic program while he's in the middle of assassinating someone, you know?
I find that a little confusing.
It'd be weird.
So you can go to the YGL website, and they actually have PDF reports going back to 2016 where you can learn about their alums and what they were working on when they were in the program. For instance, here are a couple entries from the 2016 class. Toshihiro Nakamura and Dispanada Diskul collaborated in Myanmar to bring simple, life-changing technologies to rural communities and reduce poverty and expand access to clean energy products. There's another one. Dave Hanley and Shalini Puchalpally launched an Indian-led movement to prevent female infanticide and empower women and girls with tools to overcome systemic gender-based discrimination.
Oh my God, they're so evil.
These are the sorts of projects that are being done by these young leaders in the program, which helped support their goals, the program did, and it put them in contact with people in various fields that could help them out along the way. It's unsurprising that people who partake in programs like this would end up continuing their careers pretty successfully, be that in government or at an NGO that deals with an issue that they're passionate about. That doesn't mean that the people who were in this program are in the future and forever secret plants from the World Economic Forum that Schwab has control over.
I don't know. What would be the point of teaching young people anything if you're not also implanting them with a chip that you can later use to control their actions?
Right.
What is the fucking point?
Right. I think it's a little much.
Yeah, that might be a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You can kind of assume that anybody who would be in this program is already self-selected to be a really, really motivated, probably high-achieving person.
Right. Somebody's already invented a way to help people somewhere else by the time they were 12 is all of a sudden like, oh, yeah, then let's go do it.
Yeah. And then this opens up networking possibilities.
Yeah.
It looks great on a resume.
Yeah. And you, it's
and
absurd.
Then, and then you may end up in politics in a cabinet somewhere.
Right.
And Klaus Schwab can have a discussion at the Kennedy School and talk about being proud of people who went through that program.
Not hard.
And then it's turned into this, like, Klaus Schwab brags that
I'm pretty sure he runs the entire Canadian government.
It's just annoying.
Yeah.
It is annoying.
I'm pretty sure he said that.
So Alex, I think it must have been the Forest Air or something, but he's pretty big on declaring a bit of victory.
It is a bizarre, very surreal thing to now see the true talking points against the globalist and the Great Reset coming out of senators and congressmen and governors' mouths and all the big top podcast hosts and the top Fox hosts everywhere. We have done it, ladies and gentlemen. InfoWars, that is you, the audience of activists, and our guest, and this whole family, have successfully launched a worldwide resistance to the globalist by being aware of them and understanding that submission to their program is death, resistance to their program is life.
Alex Jones here. I've saved the world.
If this is me, okay, and I'm taking complete ownership over creating a global movement fighting the globalists,
right,
a global international movement,
sure,
right, I don't know if I would want to be associated with the one that brings Nazi flags.
Ooh.
That's just me, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like all of his awakened movements have Nazi flags at them.
Or Confederate flags in Canada.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
That's a little strange.
You know, I mean, that's all. Yeah, like when the
heritage,
right wing,
heritage, not hate.
When
heritage.
The right wing got all mad at people coming from Mexico up to our southern border. I mean, the Confederate flag in Canada's southern border—that's just out of control, right?
Did you say Canada?
I did. Well, I mean, if you've got the Confederate flag, you don't live in Canada.
Sure. So the thing that Alex is talking about here too, like with the real talking points getting out,
right?
It's not so much a victory of the talking points as it is an erosion of who's doing the talking.
Yeah.
The people who are in office and Rogan
right.
are
right.
It's they're not necessarily the most critical.
Finally, the brains of the powerful have been melted enough that they do what I say.
Yeah. I make sense to people in power now.
The world has been so destroyed. Then here we are.
That's a damning indictment.
Yeah, not great.
So Alex is going to retell a little bit of his story about what happened on January 6th. I don't believe this, but it does.
It's good that a year later he's finally really getting the details down.
Well, this probably is not relevant to courts.
Okay.
It's more relevant to his psychic powers.
Sure.
Now let me issue an emergency warning right now. Obviously, we walked into a trap on January 6th.
Obviously.
We had been to so many big Trump rallies around the country with almost no violence.
I already got to stop. Didn't he say that maybe Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers did that shit?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. It was a complete trap. Nobody had any tranches of weapons.
We are back and forth all over the place on this show to a point where if you're listening to this, you can't possibly actually know what the belief is.
No, I think you just have to stand outside and scream what is real every single day.
Yeah.
Always, if there was violence, it was the other side. Literally, you could count on one hand the times Trump supporters did something wrong or were the people starting a fight.
Be a big hand.
Mm-hmm.
We had rallies with hundreds of thousands, 500,000 people, weeks before January 6th. And I just figured, well, the police won't stand down. The Secret Service won't stand down. Surely they refused Trump winning National Guard. He should have overridden that. But
That's not true. But also, the caravan that Alex went on with Owen... or Owen actually went on the caravan. Alex sent him off on it. There was no violence at those because no one gave a shit.
Yeah, nobody came.
Most of them were so poorly attended that you couldn't have a fight at them.
We were in the parking lot.
But I was like, this is going to be okay. But I had such a bad feeling that morning while I was sitting there listening to all these boring Republican speeches, and then Trump got up there and it was an okay speech.
Get him.
That I had a horrible foreboding feeling, and I thought, quit being paranoid. Maybe you're just coming down with something, maybe, because I felt sick. And, of course, I was picking up what was about to happen, that we were being led into a trap, and that this was extremely dangerous, and that if it could have triggered a bigger, true riot, true violent confrontation, that could have actually triggered a civil war and potentially millions of dead out of that.
Maybe Alex just had COVID a third time. So Alex is just talking shit here about him having psychic premonitions about a false flag or some nonsense on the 6th. But this is just him trying to get ahead of any potential violence at the trucker convoy and rally. Alex knows enough to know that this kind of situation creates the kind of environment that's ripe for exploitation. You know, it's like how the thousands of people being around the Capitol and all that chaos created the exact kind of environment that would allow Alex's buddy Stuart Rhodes to have his militia invade the Capitol and try and find politicians they didn't like.
Yeah.
There's a non-zero chance of trouble from the truckers' rally, all things being equal.
Oh, they already stole food from the homeless.
Well, I think that's awful spiritually and in the world. It's
I mean,
bad.
It's not overthrowing the Capitol.
Right.
That's true.
There's a matter of scale.
I will give you that.
It could be, you know, someone using the rally as cover for some kind of an attacker. It could be that they clog up the streets and ambulances and fire trucks can't get to people who need their services, and that could lead to deaths. Whatever the potential troubles that could come out of it, Alex knows that it's important to get ahead of it and preemptively declare it a false flag. So that's what he's doing here. It's a very transparent and consistent strategy he employs whenever there's a far-right event that looks like there's a potential for it to go bad.
Right.
So even though we're recording this on Sunday and we know that nothing really bad has happened yet, Alex is recording this on Friday, and the strategy is very clearly, well, the rally is tomorrow.
Let's hope something bad happens.
Well, and it, well, probably.
Right.
But if it does, we better get ahead of this.
Right.
It's a false flag no matter what. Yeah. And so that's why he's talking about this premonition that he had on the 6th, because it's really just to lead into talking about
this current premonition.
Yes.
The first trucks of upwards of a million with F. Trudeau on the side are arriving at the beautiful neo-Gothic Parliament building that is an extremely beautiful building, by the way, one of the most beautiful I've seen. But it's something right out of Harry Potter. It's got gargoyles and demons all over it, but it's still beautiful stonework. It's got unicorns carved in it, lions rampant and everything. And I've been inside the building. It's amazing. My point is that the globalists are going to try to provocateur to try to make Trudeau look good. They're going to try to make this look violent. And you know they're going to try to provocateur a group to actually try to go in and occupy the parliament.
So weird, because, you know, if you think about it, Alex insisting that if anything violent happens in Ottawa, then it's definitely a false flag to make patriots look bad. The message you could come away with is that you should do some violence.
Yeah, because then it would make them look like they did it. It would
exactly.
be a false flag.
There's no stakes. Ultimately, you would probably be helping the conspiracy cause if did something.
Totally.
There's a built-in pre-placed narrative that no matter what, nothing bad can be blamed on the far-right demonstrators, so you're not going to hurt the cause. Plus, if someone does do something violent, then that's going to be proof that the globalists are so scared of what the protests are all about that they had to do a false flag to invalidate it. I'm not saying this is the same thing as Alex encouraging people to go do something violent, but informant function, it serves no other purpose than to make it strictly beneficial for the conspiracy narrative if something bad happens.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like they're priming someone to actually act as though they were the false flag plant. Even though they're actually not the fault, you know, like there's somebody
I get what you're saying.
Who wants to go there, almost like somebody having a weird thought was just like, what if I did it and said I did it, but then I'm also a false, like there's so many weird incentives to do weird shit whenever this is your plan.
You're looking at this through too many ping pong bounces.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's so many weird things that can happen.
Yeah. So there's trouble in Canada all around.
Also, one second.
Yeah.
A million theoretical trucks.
Right. Well, I think he meant truckers.
Right.
Because it's not a million trucks.
It's not a million trucks.
No, sir.
That would be the length of a continent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
More. Yeah. More than a continent.
Yeah.
It would be a lot bigger than a continent.
Probably.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the math on this one. And
I don't think a million trucks you could fit end to end in Canada.
Right. Yeah. There's no way.
No.
Okay.
A million truckers, too, is absurd.
Right.
There's only like 3.5 million truckers in the United States.
Right.
And like I said, 300,000 in Canada. So, I mean, you're not going to get that kind of turnout.
I mean, even 1,000 truckers is like 10 miles.
Well,
it's longer than that.
Yeah, I did. I saw someone who did the math, but I can't remember exactly what it is. But it's absurd.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's a real problem is that people have a real inability to look at crowds or distances of things and estimate them.
It's really hard.
Because things do look bigger than they generally are.
It seems like it.
And I think you can see pictures of the crowd, and I'm not diminishing them. They're still large crowds. But you could look at them and someone would be like, that's 100,000 people.
Yeah.
It may be 15,000.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough.
Yeah. I've never gotten the guess the right number of gumballs in the jar thing.
Oh, so really?
I'm not even going to come close to.
I've got it right every time.
No shit?
Yeah. It's my superpower.
That's incredible.
Much like Alex's psychic gifts.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of maybe the best case scenario for superpowers. Mm-hmm. Low stakes.
Yep.
Nobody's ever going to suspect a thing.
Actually, I should clarify. I can't do it with gumballs. I can only do it with jelly beans.
Ooh. Well, I mean, jelly beans suck.
How dare you? So Canada has some more troubles,
okay.
Not just trucking related.
Right.
Canadian Walmarts install vaccine passport scanner booths to screen customers. So the same thing's happening in Australia, New Zealand at their big stores, their grocery stores, and Canada.
This is a little bit of a weird situation. I'm a bit on the fence. On the one hand, obviously, I think that Walmart can set its own rules, and if they decide that a vaccine's required for entry in the middle of a pandemic, that's fine. And the people complaining about it are not going to get my sympathy. Almost all of these stores allow people to purchase things and pick them up at the front door because as much as they want to follow health guidance, they're more interested in making money. But on the other hand, a lot of the anti-vax folks have started a campaign in Canada to boycott Walmart. I'm not going to join up with them on this, but I would say that if the end result of this is just going to be hurting Walmart's bottom line,
yeah,
I don't really care.
Yeah, boycott the shit out of Walmart.
Yeah, go for it.
Have a great time.
Yeah. Also, this rule specifically doesn't apply to stores that sell primarily food. So when Alex is saying grocery stores, the grocery stores are exempt from the vaccine requirement.
Of course they are.
Alex has no idea what the actual policies are that he's complaining about, and it just works better for him to pretend that it applies universally.
Yeah.
Bleh.
I mean, we can afford to put automated vaccine passport scanners in places because it would be harder to pay people to stay home and work this out.
It would be tough.
It would be really hard.
So the Canadian Walmarts might be facing a boycott from the unvaccinated.
Right.
But there's other things afoot.
Canadian Walmarts install vaccine passport scanner booths to screen customers. Did you ever want to know what the Antichrist system would look like?
The self-checkout machine?
Did you ever want to know what it would be like when the Walmarts become the FEMA camps? And there you go.
See, this is funny because back in 2015, during the whole Jade Helm panic on Alex's show, one of the big conspiracies was that FEMA was using closed-down Walmarts as camps that they would take dissidents that they rounded up like Alex.
Yeah,
to them.
I remember that one.
That was stupid and never happened, but the vaguest memory of that being something Alex predicted still exists in the audience's mind. So Alex is trying to exploit that to use for his current scam. Also, based on this story about what's going on with Canadian Walmarts, it seems like they're the opposite of FEMA camps. Alex's whole thing is they're going to round up unvaccinated people and put them into camps, but you can't even get into the Walmart unless you're vaccinated.
No, they're going to unround up unvaccinated people and get them as far away from the Walmart as they can.
This is contradictory. It makes no sense. It's stupid. Anyway, we're about to get into a section of the show that I would say is a bit transphobic and, content warning ahead of time for that. It starts, though, with Alex getting into the act of the green M&M brouhaha.
Oh, my God.
But it's not about the green M&M anymore.
Of course it's not about the green M&M anymore.
It's not about the green M&M because apparently Minnie Mouse is also getting rid of the dress, getting a pantsuit. Right?
Sure.
Yep.
Fine.
Everyone's mad.
What are we doing? Am I hallucinating in my last moments? Is that what makes sense of this?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Okay.
Why do they put biological males in women's sports and now let them dominate every level of it? Because if you'll accept
every level
that ass backwards and that is that big a fraud, you'll accept anything. And now Disney announced that Snow White and other female characters will not wear dresses.
Ever.
They want to take the power of women and their culture and what they like and what they gravitate to and what they enjoy and celebrating their beauty.
Which I will tell
like
them
a
what
woman
it
is. A flower. Why is a flower beautiful? To attract bees for procreation. It's the same thing.
Oh, my God.
Why is one species of bird colorful and other species not? This is who we are. This is what we do organically. And they are saying, no, you can't do that because we're hitting you with so many chemicals and so much garbage that women will be like men and men will be like women. And that's what they've done because it's an enemy of the people.
Jeez. So is Alex implying that bees and flowers are the same species, just different gender?
I mean,
different sexes.
Beauty's an abstract concept that is beyond the capability of both flowers and bees.
Does he think that bees are drawn to flowers because they're pretty?
I think so. I think that's what he's thinking. He's thinking that I believe flowers are beautiful. and that is why I am attracted to them.
Right.
As opposed to a completely practical transaction of exchange of pollen. Mm. That's it.
Yeah. But you can see here, I don't know. I was looking it up. I don't know if I saw the Disney princesses thing. I think it's just about Minnie Mouse.
Yeah.
But I really also only think that Alex is using that or even talking about it because, you know, other people like Tucker, the most important person in the world.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And Candace
Owens.
If only
he knows it.
They're both getting a lot of attention for talking about this stuff.
Right.
So I think what he's doing is like, I got to get in on it.
Sure.
But I've also got to be really hateful.
I got to have a twist on it.
Right. Rank transphobia.
I can't just
horrible.
Be like, oh, men and women are different. No, it's got to be transphobic.
Right. And use tired talking points.
Ooh, escalation.
About sports and what have
yes.
you.
Yes. Yeah.
And now Alex gets it. He pivots from talking about that into talking about a story that has to do with a trans person who committed a crime against a child and is going to jail.
Okay.
And
so the system worked.
Well, this is an interesting case because this person ended up, they committed the crime 10 years ago or so, like around that time, when they were a minor. And so the courts decided to send them to juvenile detention instead of going to adult prison, which is a little bit strange, but also is something that all of the like the prosecution and the defense had no problem with. So there may be some details to this case that we aren't aware of that make this make more sense.
Sure.
I think it's an interesting case, and I think that there is a conversation that someone probably could have about it if you wanted to talk about it as a news story.
Yeah.
A legal decision that is maybe a little bit off the beaten path.
Right.
Talk about why this could happen. But Alex doesn't do that. It is all just hate.
A transgender woman, you mean a man, now 26, has been ordered to serve just 2 years in juvenile detention center for sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl after L.A. D.A. George Gaskin refused to prosecute her as an adult. Her. Hannah Tubbs, formerly known as James, now 26, pled guilty in 2020 to sexually assaulting the young girl in a Denny's bathroom in 2014 when he was 17. Prosecutors had pushed for it to stay in the Los Angeles jail and be tried as an adult, but the DA declined to file a motion to move the case out of juvenile court where it was filed. And so now he'll put the creature in, the child rapist, with children.
Yeah, this isn't discussion of a news story or even analysis of a legal opinion. This is just a person spewing hate. There's nothing in that clip, nor in any of Alex's conversation about this story, that adds to the discussion or leads anyone to any conclusion other than to hate trans people as a class of people. It's abhorrent. If Alex actually wanted to express displeasure with the decision to place this person in a juvenile detention center, he could very well do that without any of the extraneous hate that he throws in, but that really wouldn't do it for his audience. Whether they realize it or not, that kind of stuff is what makes this show exciting for them. The hate is the spirit that animates Alex's content, and without it, there is no show and there is no audience. It's displays like this that really should drive home how infrequently Alex's content is actually about what it's pretending to be about. On the surface, this is supposed to be about a trans adult who is sentenced to a juvenile detention center for a crime they committed when a minor, but it's actually just an opportunity for Alex to dehumanize all trans people using this story as a prop. I think this is a case where you could have a decent conversation about the story, and not all parties acting in good faith would necessarily agree whether or not it's appropriate to send an adult to a juvenile detention center for a crime that they committed as a youth. And I don't think the trans aspect really has anything to do with that conversation, but you can see that this is the only aspect Alex latches onto because spreading that kind of hate is his goal, not discussing this as a legal decision.
Yeah, I'm struggling to see where trans comes in at all.
Right.
I mean, other than, I suppose, I mean, the sentencing question would be like more, would we discuss a women's prison? I mean, that seems like the obvious question.
There's not a lot to even talk about in terms of Alex's response to it other than to rebuke his his bigotry.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Mm-hmm. You're done. You said it, and you said creature. You're done.
And there's probably even worse the rest of the episode that I did not include. I included this not necessarily to even talk about the case because, you know, his response to it does not really require a nuanced response.
There's no case.
No, but I do include this because I don't often include necessarily just outright bigot nonsense.
Right.
And it's important to every now and again remind people that, like, yeah, this is part of the content too.
Yeah. And it's home run content for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's looking for.
Yep. So Roger Stone is coming back on.
Sure.
Does
he need money or is he going back to jail?
We'll see. Roger, I mentioned on the last episode that he was on that he seemed to be slurring a little bit more.
Yeah.
And he was a little bit, and the character of it and the feel of it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
He's back.
Oh, he's back to full strength.
Oh, he's back.
He's Roger ready to throw stones.
We got vintage Roger, and part of that is that he is promoting his appearance to Alex before he gets on the show.
Get out.
And I can't tell if this is on his Getter or his Telegram or what it is. Because those sites pretty much look the same. They're all great sites. But Roger Stone sent me this message right here, if we can do an overhead shot. And it says, I join Alex Jones today at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, that's next segment, to talk about the Trump endorsements and what is really happening in the Republican Party. And then he sent me this message. He says, this will be the most significant broadcast I've done on InfoWars since 2016. So get ready.
Get ready.
The most important person in the world right now is
Roger Stone.
Oh, yeah.
And his appearance is going to be the biggest fucking thing. The biggest thing.
What kind of asshole would send that to?
Let me tell you this.
I'm never texting you a tweet.
Let me tell you, Jordan. Spoiler. This is not the most.
I have no doubt in my mind.
Important appearance at all.
No doubt in my mind.
So we heard earlier that Alex is thrilled that the politicians and Joe Rogan are getting his talking points out.
Yes.
And
brains are melting.
Feels like a success. And you got these Canadian truckers standing up. This
million
is changing the world.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, we're also in the end times.
No!
I'm a person that doesn't scare easily. And I can tell you, I'm shook up all the time right now.
Oh, woo-woo.
Because this is it. This is the fabled New World Order, World Government, Antichrist takeover. I'm not saying the Antichrist is here. I'm not saying it's about to happen next week. But all the pieces are being put in place. And the training wheels for it are being engaged in right now. And you go to these big churches, you hear nothing about this. Instead, they ask you to check your QR code and make sure you got your vaccine passport to be there. They are nothing but induction systems or feeders, funnels into the belly of the beast.
Yeah, that's right. All churches are working for the devil except for Alex's weird version of Christianity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the end times, man. Look,
sure.
We got the Antichrist system. Hey, maybe not this week.
I am real sick of the end times.
Oh,
I'm sick of them. I'm just done with them.
It's a little tiring.
Ugh. I mean, but you can read the book. Well, it says what's going to happen.
But also the end times, by definition, requires an end.
Yeah.
And it
never
not,
seems to.
It keeps on a going.
Keeps on going.
And
the Mark of the Beast has so far been the same mark in just many different ways for the past 20 years.
No, it's been 100 different things.
No, it's been a different form of barcode or a QR code or a fucking
Vaccine.
Or a vaccine. Or it's the same shit. It's just anything that you have today.
Right. Look, you got to get right with God.
Okay.
I know that you have whatever complaints you have.
Sure.
Get it together, man.
No, you're right.
I'm just telling you, folks, it's time to get right with God right now. Big time. And it's also time for us to fight the hardest we ever had to spread the word and to get the word out and to warn people so they know what is going on. So we need to build up our war chest. We don't need to be running on empty here at InfoWars. We need to go strong into the future with as much capital as we have to operate as best we can. And I got to tell you, this could be the last chance you ever get to get these supplements.
I feel like it's a little sacrilegious.
Get right with God,
look,
man.
It's the end times. All churches are feeders to the belly of the beast. Uh-huh. Get right with God. Uh-huh. You, but big time. Got to get right with God.
Only
also,
one way.
Supplements.
You
baby.
Got it. You got it. Only one way to get right with God. Iodine.
So
deep earth.
So, look, people like us, Alex probably thinks of us as a lost cause.
Sure. We're supplement free.
True. Unless, I mean, there was a little bit of time where I was taking, like, ginkgo biloba.
Sure, sure. Does he sell that?
No, I don't know. So, look, we're lost causes.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that the convoy isn't also great.
Oh.
And everybody that works for the system that pretends like you're on the winning team, you're fools.
Fools!
You have thrown your birthright out the window. You've destroyed yourself, and there's still time for you to turn back. But I'm not going to talk to people that serve evil. Most of them are a lost cause. I'm talking to those of you that know what's going on and know how serious things are. You need to get your head straight. You need to get focused and get out of that fog and decide what you're going to do politically, spiritually, economically, culturally to not go along with this and not comply like the million people descending on Ottawa, Canada right now with caravans 50, 60, 70 miles long coming in from every major direction, exposing the Great Reset, exposing the New World Order, exposing what's happening. So I would go to InfoWarsStore.com and I would get these products and I would buy extra to have a backup. We're going to end the sale by Monday. Vitamin
sure
C,
will.
Zinc
sure will,
with
buddy.
Rose hips, 1,100% of your vitamin C.
What the fuck?
1,100% of your vitamin C.
Yeah, those rose hips.
Why? That just isn't 100% the correct amount?
Mm.
What's the point of having more than 100%? If 100%, anything more than that is too much.
Yeah, I think you see that on vitamin bottles a lot. Multivitamins have like 2,000% of...
No! I don't... It doesn't... You don't get to keep it. Like, I don't get to have 20 days of vitamin C now. I just pee it out the next day.
Sure. I got no answer for you. I don't know why that happens, but it does.
Fair point.
But yeah, I mean, you see this. You see what's going on here. More ad pivots.
Yeah.
Bunch of them.
We definitely need money.
But you know who doesn't? Roger. Roger's back.
Okay.
And what's going on right now is a systematic effort by Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy to retake control of the Republican Party and take it back to the country club. Now, there are times when the president seems to understand this. For example, only weeks ago, it was Donald Trump himself who was aghast at the vote by Congressman Christopher Smith of New Jersey for Joe Biden's Build Back Better trillion bonanza. And Trump himself went on social media to call for a primary challenge to this rhino. Fortunately, Mike Crispy, who is a broadcaster with Right Side Broadcasting, lives in the district, stepped forward and said, me, I'll take him on. And now this rhino's in deep trouble.
No, he's not. So Roger's back, and this appearance is mostly about how he's mad at the people that Trump is endorsing, which seems to be what he was mad about last time, too.
Yeah, but this is greater.
I think Roger is going hard on the midterms and like trying to primary non-Trump loyalists.
Right.
That seems to be his agenda, at least the last couple times he's been on InfoWars. That's pretty interesting.
I mean, I would say that's probably his best shot at getting relevant in politics again.
Probably.
You know, making some of these
bottom
people up. Yeah. Making some of these people beholden to him.
There is no there's no president to sort of attach yourself to
right.
in this election cycle.
Right.
So why not like really work on trying to get some weirdos into the house?
Right. And the rhino is not going to hire me or listen
nope.
to me or take my text messages.
Certainly
but this
not.
Mike Crispy dude is.
Hell yeah.
Hell
so
yeah,
we
well.
Got our first completely doomed congressional primary candidate getting thrown into the mix here on InfoWars, and it's a dumb broadcaster from Right Side. Ballotpedia has a profile on Crispy, and apparently a couple of his top issues are, quote, election integrity and, quote, eliminating mandates. It's pretty easy to see that it's, you know, obviously attractive to the right-wing base.
Right.
The stolen election narratives, which is just basically relitigating 2020.
Totally.
And just anti-vax bullshit. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a lot of the conversation that the midterm
surrounds. Oh, you don't think so?
It's going to be annoying.
Yeah.
One of the areas of public policy that Crispy said he's passionate about personally is, quote, banning CRT, which is insane. I can't imagine how little you would have to engage with reality for that to be one of the issues you're most passionate about personally. Unless you're a racist, and then that makes sense.
Well, it's 2022. Mm-hmm. There's a pandemic raging. There's global international relationships are fucking crumbling in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if children knew that we were slave owners once.
Mm-hmm. I'm personally passionate about this. Anyway, good luck to this ding-dong. He's up against Chris Smith in the primary, who's been in office since 1981. In 2020, he won the Republican primary with 94.8% of the vote. And if all the candidates running stick around into the primary, it seems completely unfathomable that he will lose against four other candidates who have a high likelihood of splitting the weirdo vote amongst themselves.
They'll all get 1%.
For instance, Dave Berg is running in the primary, and he's branding himself as the America First candidate, who's prioritizing, quote, eradicating critical race theory, and only has one book listed in response to the question of what his favorite book is. You'd think it's the Bible.
Oh, no.
It's not.
No, Ayn Rand.
It's Molly Hemingway's book, Rigged, which is about the 2020 election being stolen.
I've learned what books are! It's 2021!
Berg and Crispy are essentially going to be fighting each other over the weirdo scraps, and Chris Smith is going to easily win this primary. That's not even counting Mike Blassie, the veteran and also America First candidate who's in the primary, who recently tweeted in favor of requiring IDs to vote and also posted a meme with a fake Martin Luther King quote. Quote, the hottest place in hell is reserved for those who remain neutral in times of great moral conflict. That isn't a Martin Luther King quote. It's actually just a poor paraphrasing of a line from Dante's Inferno.
Sure.
That traces back to various sources, including Hellfire preachers and even Teddy Roosevelt and later JFK.
Right.
Anyway, this guy wants to bring back Jim Crow laws and is posting fake MLK quote memes on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Right.
So he's also going to be splitting the particular voting block with Berg and Crispy.
Right.
Point is, this is Chris Smith's race to lose.
I'm really waiting for the next Republican candidate to take it another notch and just be like, America second, white people first. Mm. And then there we go. Now you're uniting the base right there.
Sure.
That's what they're really looking for.
So this is Rogers' first salvo.
Yes.
Crispy. He's fucked.
Yeah, he's, you know, it's easy. You start with a losing effort and see what you got, you know?
The second one is actually a little bit more plausible.
Okay.
But also is a huge loser.
All right.
In fact, it was James Lankford who said that he was open to a third impeachment over Donald Trump regarding January 6th. This guy is the number one rhino in the country. He is a certain vote for Mitch McConnell to return to the leadership. Now, he's being challenged by Jackson Lawmeyer, a hard-charging pastor and businessman who has built an extraordinary grassroots campaign and is beginning to press the senator.
Jackson Lawmeyer is probably not going to win this primary, but is a perfect InfoWars type candidate because he's a fucking con man. He made headlines in late 2021 because he was offering to provide his signature for people to use to get religious exemptions from any vaccine requirements, but in order to get one, you had to donate to his church.
Ooh.
See, this is really fun because not only is it him selling his religious
beliefs.
Oh,
no, he's not selling it.
Uh-huh. It's also a complete scam he's running on the scared anti-vax people that he's appealing to.
I mean, they're just giving to the Lord.
Every state has different rules about exemptions, but there's almost no situation where you would be required to have a note from your pastor in order to get one. This is baby shit. Like, imagining that vaccine exemptions are like getting your parents to sign a slip that says you don't have to go to gym class.
Yeah, is this...
This is ridiculous.
Is this a Stubblebine original?
Yeah.
Are we back to laminating cards that say, you don't have to hurt me, man?
This dude is exploiting the ignorance of people he's marketing himself to, specifically using the appearance of his religious position for profit. That makes him a real piece of shit, and just the sort of person that Alex and Roger would want in office.
Oh, totally.
In this case, again, there are five candidates in the GOP primary, but the dynamics are a little bit different. James Lankford is the incumbent, but he has two people with actual political experience running against him in the primary. That's less weirdos to split the weirdo vote, and more actual politicians who could end up siphoning votes from Lankford. I still doubt that Lau Meyer is going anywhere, but he's got a better shot than Crispy in terms of just the folks who are in that primary. Like, if the actual politicians drop out before the primary, yeah, then he's fucked. But yeah, if that doesn't happen, then they could end up splitting the non-insane yeah vote.
That's this is going to be one of the funnier Republican primary election seasons.
It will not be funny.
No, it's going to be funny for me just because it's going to constantly be that Futurama joke of the your 3% titanium tax doesn't go too far enough. I think your 3% titanium tax goes too far. You know, like, it's, they're all saying the same shit. America first, anti-vax, they're all saying the same shit at each other.
Right.
It's bananas.
Right. And you got to think that if people really want to set themselves apart, they're going to have to go even more.
Yeah,
extreme.
They're going to have to go crazy.
Yeah.
That's the only way to differentiate themselves.
How do you pull away from the pack in crazy town?
Right.
You got to go crazy.
You got to go crazy.
Yeah.
You can't go sane. You can't be like, hey, I'm the guy who thinks we should compromise. Nobody gives a fuck about you, man.
No, you'll get thrown out of the Trump camp
totally,
real quick.
Totally.
So Roger's got another candidate.
I think we should reach across the aisle.
Boo.
Boo.
Roger's got another candidate, and this is a this made me really sad.
What about Laura Loomer? She's running an incredibly hard-charging race against Dan Webster in Florida. Webster didn't even bother to show up to vote against the second impeachment attempt, and he didn't even bother to send a proxy, which is allowed under House rules.
Laura Loomer's not going anywhere. This is just rough.
The specter of Laura Loomer becoming a congressperson,
mm-hmm,
not very scary.
No.
Not worried about it.
Not at all. We saw her try this last time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't go well.
Yeah. And
even though she was way ahead in the polls.
So she was ahead by 60%
at one
point.
She was raising millions and millions and millions of dollars.
I don't know if anybody's ever had more money than her.
She had like 80% of the vote.
All the money.
And then it was stolen from her.
It was a thievery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Good luck, Laura.
So we got a scammy preacher.
Yep.
We got a right side broadcasting weirdo.
Nutbag.
And Laura Loomer.
And we got Laura Loomer. Somehow
cool.
A mixture of all of the bad things.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is why Alex sees politicians repeating his talking points.
Right.
It's because of this.
Yeah. You know, I worry that the intellectual powerhouse of Roger Stone, Alex Jones, and Laura Loomer,
mm-hmm,
I don't know if we can defeat them.
Yeah, it's daunting.
Yeah, too smart.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game of four-dimensional chess.
Alex and InfoWars won't even put Laura Loomer's name on a video. You know, fucking support her on a ballot? Get the fuck out of here.
That's a good point.
So Roger's got some big election 2020 news.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Yeah, cool. 2020? It's almost time.
Mm-hmm.
Big news, by the way, today. The breaking just a little while ago out of Pennsylvania, where the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Courts have ruled the mail-in ballots used in the last election to be unconstitutional. It was pretty clear to most of us, but again, the rhinos in the Republican state legislature, House and Senate, threw Donald Trump over the side and legalized mail-in ballots. Now it will go to the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, which leans left. If the next election is held in Pennsylvania under the old rules, you're not going to elect a Republican governor, and you're not going to carry that state, which I'm convinced Donald Trump did in the last election.
Okay. I appreciate your conviction, but it means nothing.
Yeah.
So this is about a law that Pennsylvania passed that allowed no excuse mail-in ballots. So it doesn't have to do with the entire issue of mail-in ballots, just a specific circumstance because of the pandemic.
Right.
So GOP folks challenged the constitutionality of that law, and a lower court that's comprised of 3 Republicans and 2 Democrats voted 3-2 that it was against the constitution of the state.
Oh, yeah? Which way did it go?
Exactly how you would expect.
Oh, okay.
So this was appealed to the state Supreme Court, where it will inevitably eventually be struck down and the law will stand. It's not just because that Supreme Court has a 5-2 Democratic majority.
No.
Even if the Supreme Court did throw this out, though, throughout the law, like if they just struck it down, it wouldn't have any effect on the 2020 election.
No, I'm pretty sure we have to go back in time.
No.
And then just redo it all.
Can't do that. So what really demonstrates how much of a cult the GOP has become is the fact that 11 of the GOP lawmakers who raised this challenge to the court actually voted for the bill to become law.
Sure.
And the law was passed by a Republican-controlled legislature.
Love it.
Alex loves to misuse 1984 references, but this might be actually a good spot to deploy that, one of those.
Yeah.
I think it's a little...
Yeah, that's a little double-speaky.
Yeah. It's a little fucked up. Like, just... Look, we passed an unconstitutional law.
I mean, I just don't even...
We demand you strike down this law that we voted in favor of.
It's insane. It's insane. It really is insane. They just have them all walk out and go... And that would be the same thing.
You mean like how people do to Alex
like
at the grocery store?
Like how people do to Alex at the grocery store. Just do that because it doesn't matter what you say. All of your words mean nothing.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Alex heard a clip of Trump saying that he's going to be the 45th and 47th president.
Nice.
And here's Alex's response to that.
Uh-huh.
But right now, I wanted to play this clip of Trump a few days ago saying, I'm going to be the 45th and 47th. Remember, 6 months ago, the media didn't pick it up. Roger, you know, met with Trump. He didn't want to get specific, but Trump had gone from wasn't going to run to them messing with him, going to run. And the Afghanistan thing was the final deal. And here was Trump confirming it, that he will be the 47th president. That has got to scare the hell out of the left. Here it is.
I thought Alex hated Trump now.
I mean, what are we
doing? I thought he was done with him. What these people... These folks, especially like Alex, have based so much of their ability to engage with the world on Trump sycophant nonsense.
Yeah.
That they just can't. They can't go away from him.
Nope.
Like, they'll get mad, they'll throw a little tantrum, and then they'll come back. Even though, I don't know, does Trump change his position on vaccines?
Nope.
Certainly didn't get unboosted.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing about it that's really interesting is that they are beholden to fake Trump forever.
Mm-hmm.
They are trapped in this world of like, oh, we made this fake one too real. Uh-huh. Shit.
Yeah.
Because the real one is nothing like the fake one.
Yeah. I mean, Alex talks about that even, like, he's our beachhead. He's the symbol, this signet of, you fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about making a flag your symbol is that the flag can't contradict you. When you make a dude your symbol, he's going to be disappointing.
And then you got to throw a fit, and then you got to get back in line.
Yep.
And if I were Trump, I would recognize this dynamic really clearly
by now. It's so easy.
And I would not give a fuck about making some of these people mad.
Why would you care about anything?
You'll throw a tantrum for a little while, and then you'll recognize that I'm the only means you have
totally.
Of ever getting in power.
Ever again.
And you'll go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, Trump is going to pull a Grover Cleveland to become the president and a Supreme Court justice. Who fucking cares?
Could happen.
Yeah.
So January 6th happened. Ashley Babbitt got shot and, obviously sad. But Alex has got some news on that front.
She was not actually shot.
She was.
Oh.
But we got to rewrite everything surrounding it.
Oh, that's smart.
And then there's Ashley Babbitt, unarmed, killed in cold blood. Who was she menacing? And then
really?
A hero out of the cop that shot her.
And like, we now know from the full footage that hadn't been released till now, it came out in court, that she was freaking out. She'd been a police officer in the military, telling everybody to stop and demanding the police stop the crowd. Now we know it was the opposite. She wasn't even trying to jump through the window.
So this new version of the Ashley Babbitt story comes from a Zero Hedge article. And it relies on footage that was shot by John Sullivan. And actually, it didn't come out in court. It's not full of footage that wasn't available. Alex had it on January 6th.
Yeah.
One of his employees was standing next to John Sullivan.
Correct.
In the foyer there.
Yeah.
And asked him to buy his footage from him.
Yep.
You see that on tape.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's this footage and then an interpretation that's provided by Taylor Hansen, who, of course, was the guy who burned a Black Lives Matter flag with Owen Schroyer on the evening of January 5th.
Sure.
Hansen has been talking about Ashley Babbitt literally since he exited the Capitol building, because he was a guest on InfoWars that day. And it's not the story that he's been telling up to this point.
Isn't that weird?
This version of it is, yeah.
Yeah, but now that they've had some time to really think about how they wished it had gone, they can really write it out.
This isn't new footage. It's not a new revelation. It's just new spin that these same right-wing shitheads posing as independent journalists are trying to sell to take some of the heat off the fact that their buddies got arrested for seditious conspiracy. And it's boring.
Yeah.
Boo.
Man, it's been a while. Yeah, you know the election?
Mm-hmm.
That was a few years ago.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. The 6th?
Mm-hmm.
That was a whole year ago.
Yep.
You know, like, you can't rewrite these things now.
They're trying.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Yep.
That is a problem.
It's not really going to stick, though, I don't think.
Not for a long time.
No.
Maybe just for long enough.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there'll be a little bit of a flash up, a little bit of a woo. Maybe get a little bit of a charge out of it. It's
just
it'll
not,
be gone by next week.
It's just not enough.
No.
Yeah.
So Roger was there in D.C.
Yes.
And he gave a speech on the 5th. Some have said, now granted, some are Roger, that it was a perfect speech.
I don't know if anybody has said that.
Such a good speech.
Yeah, I gave a speech on the 5th of January, and I put it up on YouTube. And guess what? It's gone. They've taken it down. Why? Because it was, as Donald Trump would say, a perfect speech. That's why. I didn't advocate lawlessness. I didn't advocate anarchy. I didn't advocate that anyone hurt anyone at the Capitol or anyone else. I did talk about my apocalyptic view of the struggle this country faces, and I did say it is a struggle between good and evil, between dark and light, between those, the godly and the godless. By the way, it is anti-Christian bigotry to say,
my God.
Oh, well, that means you're for violence. No, that means I believe in Jesus Christ. That's what it means. And I have a right to say that, but they want to snuff out your right to say that. That's why I'm spending all my money, all my time raising money to pay lawyers. I'm so sick of paying lawyers. I'd like to go back to having a normal life, but that's not going to happen. So, folks, go to stonedefensefund.com. And after you do that, go to the InfoWars store and buy a product. People don't understand the importance of InfoWars as a beacon of freedom and truth over the last 5 years. They don't understand it.
Man, Alex has got to be pissed that Roger said over the last 5 years.
Yeah. Ever since I showed up specifically, they have been a beacon of light and truth.
Yeah. Before that, who knows?
Who knows?
I never listened.
That shit was terrible.
Yeah. Alex just looked like a mark.
Yeah. And, so easy.
I took advantage of that. So who cares?
Paid off.
So he gave a great speech. It's anti-Christian bigotry to claim that he's a weirdo. Also, he's not going to turn the other cheek.
That is,
as we recall from his last appearance.
That was the most like a child I've heard Roger Stone sound like in a long time. Just like,
I told you,
I gave a great speech. I did a great job. Admittedly, I did say that it was a struggle between good and evil. But you know what? That's not advocating a fight. That's great. That you're. It's anti-Christian. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I'll say that the Roger carry the version of him that carries religion as a shield is not a fun Roger.
No.
The Roger that is a weirdo and a libertine, that's a bit more of a fun Roger who carries a shield of I'm so strange you can't really
what are you going to say about
nail
me
down?
What are you going to do? I had an orgy the other night. What am I going to be mad?
I'm a swinger and a known liar. Good luck making me care.
How can I feel bad with a tattoo of Nixon on my back? Every morning I wake up while I'm brushing my teeth, I take a look and I go, well, at least I'm not that fucker.
Yeah, this is like, that's so much more of an interesting, fun Roger. This is just sad.
Moralizing post fucking, I got caught fraud.
But you should know that Alex, Roger, they're the truth tellers in the world. And that's really why.
I'm pretty sure Roger was convicted of fraud.
Well, sure. But look, they're the truth tellers, and that's why everybody is trying to take them down.
That sounds right.
Why do they want to lock us up? Why do they want to lock Stone and Jones up?
Because
we are threats to them. Because the truth is always threatening to them. No one is as hated as the truth teller. I believe that's what Plato said. And it is absolutely right. So go to stonedefensefund.com. Make a contribution. Go to the InfoWars store right now and buy one of the great products. And if you're not in the mood for a product, you can make a donation. There's a donation button. I'm sick of being called a grifter.
Well, then don't act like this, then.
After telling people to donate.
Yeah.
To donate to a store.
Yeah.
Not to buy something, to donate to the store. I don't know why people call me a grifter.
Yeah, I mean, like, I sympathize. Oh, I empathize.
It sucks
probably being called a grifter.
I hate being called a grifter.
When you act like one, people will call you that.
Yeah.
I think. I think that's just a natural result of actions as opposed to...
I don't like it when people look at me accurately.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer to be shrouded in a web of lies.
Yes, as I had for the majority of my career.
Please think of me in the fictional sense where I am an unbeatable monster.
Yeah. So after this, Alex interviews a lawyer who's like against mandates, vaccine mandates. And he pumps up and promotes that he interviewed General Flynn. This is about where I emotionally checked out.
Yeah. Fair.
I was like, I had Roger come in and yell about loser ass candidates.
Ooh, bad.
Try and make a bunch of give me money. I'm a truth teller.
I'll even bring up Play-Doh.
There's just nothing funnier than that, like, string of give me money. I'm tired of people calling me a grifter.
I hate when people call me a grifter.
Yeah.
It's so unfair.
The presumption that there's something like in giving him money that will make him not be called a grifter in the future.
Just the idea that the last time I hear you come on, you are telling me that you need people to donate to your legal fund so you can sue everybody.
Sue everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody in the media is on notice.
Everyone.
Which he's dropped. That doesn't come up in this appearance.
And then it does not come up at all. Mm-mm. But he still wants you to donate to the same fund.
Now the defense
fund. It's the defense fund.
Which
yes.
Maybe is for the offense also.
Well, maybe one way or the other. But listen, he's not a grifter.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Just because his story changes from moment to moment based upon what he thinks will emotionally manipulate you enough into giving him money does not mean he's a grifter, Dan.
And he's trying to trick you into like believing that he's going to get loser fucking candidates into office.
Yeah. As if you donating to Roger is just as good as donating to their campaign.
Sure.
Because Roger's going to use it to help them.
He's going to promote them.
Yeah, absolutely.
These candidates are getting exposure.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So we come to the end of this, and I don't know. I think this was a strange episode because there was trying to prepare it while the rally and the convoy were sort of ongoing.
Yeah.
Was a little bit of a difficult thing because you didn't really know where anything was going to land. And, you know, even as we're recording this, I still am, like I said, not entirely sure.
Yeah.
If things have wrapped up, when things will wrap up.
If they'll escalate or if they'll de-escalate.
Yeah, yeah. And if people are going to actually stay true to their word of, I'm going to stay here until Trudeau resigns.
I mean, if roughly 700,000 Canadians are suddenly going to become truckers in order to meet the million required.
Mm-hmm.
Could happen. Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
I don't know if the licensing bureau could
handle
it.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
That's going to be a backlog.
During COVID?
Ooh, man, yeah, that's going to be rough.
No way.
That's going to be rough.
Just getting those DOT physicals is going to be disaster. No, it's not going to work.
Hearing tests take at least 20 minutes a pop.
You know that from experience.
I do. That's what I'm telling you.
And that's not even considering the neurological tests that they need to schedule. So I think we'll see what happens, and we'll check back in. But this is where we're at.
Yeah, I think
we'll be back.
It's 2022.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back.
Yep. But until then, Jordan, we have a website.
It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.